with songs and sketches and jokes old and new. With us advance, the U.S. Bill Blue. So meet the gang, cause the boys are here. The boys to entertain you.
My name, my real name, is Nicholas McArdle. And the character I played, I forget his actual character name, but I can tell you what he was. He was a British officer in the Far East who could speak Japanese. So he was useful as an interpreter. That was the idea. That's it. I had taken part as a professional actor in many different sitcom episodes of different series. So I was known particularly at the BBC for doing that kind of thing. And also, many years before I ever did this program, I had known Jimmy Perry, or James Perry, as was his professional name. I could tell you a couple of things about him that a lot of people don't seem to know, if you like. I don't know if you know, if anyone's ever mentioned it, but he was probably one of the last real actor managers of a theatre. Did you know this? The theatre was the Palace Theatre, Watford, and Jimmy ran this with his wife, Gilda Perry, and he also appeared in some of the productions there. When I was in my late teens, my parents had moved house and I lived nearby. So I started to go to his theater and eventually I met him and got to know him a little as the manager. That's where the story really starts. It was not far, strangely enough, from here where I am. It was on an army, practice shooting range, tank tracks, this kind of thing, at or very near to the place in Hampshire called Borden. And the filming was done there, or most of it, and it was supposed to represent a jungle or possibly a forest, a rainforest, somewhere on the other side of the world. And that's where, as an army officer, a British army officer, of course, I had been stationed. That's how the character appears. And that's where most of the outdoor filming was done. Oh, yes, yes. This was part of the program that had been done in the BBC Television Centre in a studio with a live audience, as usually most of these sitcoms were done. The people who laughed, they laughed for real, or booed if they didn't like it. So, yes. And I think you're probably thinking of his moment in most of the episodes when he played the Sergeant Major, I believe. And he would go into a tirade in a Welsh voice, because he was a Welshman, I believe, as well. And you never knew when he was going to stop. And it got a laugh. It was kind of a speciality act. But when he did stop, as far as I'm concerned, he stopped so suddenly because this wasn't really rehearsed. He made this up as he went along, more or less. And when he stopped, I thought, oh, he stopped. And instead of coming back with my next line, I couldn't remember it, which for me, I have to be honest, was very rare. And I think he did it on purpose. But it was funny in itself. And then we picked up and we went on from there. And I had the line and he was quiet for a minute or two and off we went. They were a pretty good lot one way or another. And Melvin Hayes I'd already met and worked with here and there. And in fact, it was by sheer chance, had nothing to do with me being in the show. At least I don't think it did. His wife worked alongside, unbeknown to me, my then agent. Because by this time I'd been a professional actor for, 20 years or more. And this young woman, I often spoke to her on the phone. And she had a different name. And I didn't know until one day I visited the office and she told me that we'd often spoken. And I said, well, I know that. And she said, and you know my husband. And I said, oh, really? Who is he? Because I'd never known this. And she told me, of course. And yes, and when I think of going back to it all, Jimmy Perry, I got to know as a theatre manager. And in the past, before I left school, because I'd gone to a local school nearby, he said to me one day, I've got a pantomime coming on, he said, as I do every year, you know that. And I said, yes, I do. And he said, we might need some help, he said, on the scene, doc, and so on. That's the term for where they keep the scenery, moving it around, setting it up. And so I was taken on for one of these pantomimes as a scene shifter, which was interesting. Increased my interest in the live theatre, the professional live theatre, and in itself was very useful. And eventually I went to drama school as a result and got into the business, thank goodness, and became a professional actor for the rest of my life, in fact. And he was instrumental. He didn't send me to drama school, I did that, but he was instrumental in getting my interest informed as well as just an enthusiasm. So I've always felt a feeling of gratitude to Mr. Perry. I think it's a matter of clarity, I suppose. I mentioned Melvin Hayes, and he was always very watchable in other programs, other things he did, and he did a lot of different things. And he spoke very clearly, and he was genuinely in himself very funny, I thought. And he wasn't, I don't think, what we'd call a professional stand-up comic, but he easily could have been. And for all I know, he did some of it when I wasn't around. But yes, very sharply remembered. And of course, Windsor Davis, the Sergeant Major, who had appeared in many other things too. So I already knew his face and his voice. Do I have any other memories? No, not particularly, because you concentrate mostly on what you yourself have got to do. And a lot of things happen. Sometimes people start laughing and you don't know why, because you weren't looking in the right direction. So I can't particularly say anything about that. But I was very pleased to be in something that Jimmy Perry and his, shall we call him the other half? No, that's not really right. But at last, but that's all I could say, because I'd been in many comedies and I was very fortunate with that. I'd even worked in the dim and distant past. Nobody will remember this nowadays, or a few do, with all the members of the Monty Python lot. And I knew them all for a while, and we did one or two shows which we all appeared in. But that was even further back in history. That was in about 1967-ish, 68, something like that. I had also worked with Tim Brooke Taylor, Graham Garden and Bill Oddie in a series called Broaden Your Mind, it was called. And I was asked to be in that because I had done a pantomime with Tim Brooke Taylor, and it was his first pantomime, and it was about my third or fourth, I think, as I've been in. And as so happened, we were put by the theatre into the same dressing room, and so I was able to tell him a bit more about pantomime, which he didn't know, and it helped us both together on the stage to get quite a lot of laughs, which was very gratifying. And at the end of all that, he called me in one day, said, let's have lunch together. And he told me that he was doing a new series for BBC television with the others. And would I like to be in it as well? Well, I couldn't speak to start with. Of course I would, because we got along very well. And so I said, well, yes, please. And he said, well, all right, just as well, he said, you said yes, because I've mentioned your name to the producer already. I hope you don't mind, he said. I said, I don't think I mind at all. I'd not done much television by then, only one show really. And so that was very kind, and I was very pleased. And it shows how these things can link together, just on a personal level from time to time, if you're lucky. And it's mainly based on a good working relationship, believe it or not. They are fine. I mean, I didn't expect them not to be. I mean, they're very well informed. They knew what they wanted. Any advice or direction they gave you was always very much to the point. I mean, neither of them were amateurs. And so that was perfectly happy thing as far as I was concerned. In fact, I was very pleased to be there, to be honest, because I hadn't done anything for them before that, although I had done a lot of other comedies and a lot of drama and stuff like that. So they knew I was experienced, and most of the time I would remember the words. I think, though, that this episode, I may be wrong about this, I think it was the last one that was ever done. You may know this, I don't. I'm not sure, but I think it probably was the last, well, certainly the last one that was recorded and so on. I hope that wasn't my fault. If you're fortunate, as I was at that time, in being a pretty busy actor, you do get asked to go to be in something, perhaps for one episode or two, but in actual fact, you're not free to do so because you've already got something else booked. So sometimes that used to go wrong because, well, you can't be in two places at once. And normally people who pay the royalties are, you know, very explicit. They'll tell you why you've got it. They're not usually very big for this kind of thing. They, you know, you can have several showings of something and it all mounts up to about 10 or 12 pounds or something like that. So it's not a huge thing. But I know that's probably something that's, well, it's beyond anybody's control because of all the copying that can go on. Thank you. It's been a pleasure. And thank you for your interest as well and the trouble you must take over all this. And good luck with the rest of it.
We, oh, we are YS boys to entertain you.